Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From high atop the ice surface at MTS Center, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Joined in the press box by producer Michael Remus and analyst Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, and the Winnipeg Jets have just fallen at the hands of the Detroit Red Wings by a 4-3 margin. Richard, this is a game that the Jets had a number of leads throughout the game. They had a 2-goal lead, a 2-0. They had a 3-2 lead leading into the third period. But the Detroit Red Wings persevered throughout the whole game and took the play to the Jets for the majority of the third period, in my mind, and ended up as the victors by that 4-3 margin.
Yeah, you know, Drew, a boring, uneventful first period. Thought the Jets played pretty well in the second period there, and they end up at the end of the second period being up a goal, and they've been successful, you know, once they've had a lead heading into the third period here. But Detroit did take it to the Jets, and then Jersey kind of took it to the Jets last game in the third, but, you know, the Jets were up 2-0, and this game they were up 1-goal, and you have to note is the fact that, as we said yesterday in NHL Midweek, Detroit's a better team than Jersey, but also they do what Jersey does just faster. And that was on display. The skill level's on display today. And the Jets had a chance. And it was a game that was kind of filled with mistakes by the Jets that, if you're going to play the style that they play, which is, you know, take your chances on kind of coin flip games and try not to, you know, try to keep everything simple, you can't make glaring errors. And there was like two or three glaring errors that led to 3 goals.
Well, let's talk about the goals, and we'll go through them goal by goal, period by period. First period, like you said, not much happened in the entirety of the period. There were no goals scored. The Jets had 8 shots. The Red Wings had 7 shots.
It's a terrible period of hockey. I mean, it was boring, as you're going to get. But and there seemed to be a lot of boring first periods here, but the rest of the game was quite exciting. So I don't think we need to talk any more about the first period other than it was extremely boring.
Yeah, just to say, Jets, again, power play problems. They had 2 power plays in the first period and, again, didn't do anything with those power plays pretty much at all.
Yeah, the power play looks brutal. What do you even say about the power play even right now?
It looks brutal.
They hardly get in the zone.
They're gaining the blue line and going 1-on-4 against they're pressing on the power play.
Yeah, the power play is a mess. But that's for another day right now.
Yeah. So the Jets open the scoring in this second period at the 2:15 mark of the period. Dustin Byfuglien gets his third of the year, assist to Evander Kane and Matthew Perreault on this goal, and the Jets take a 1-0 lead. Nice pass from Kane to Byfuglien.
Yeah, kind of like a pass, kind of no-look pass almost.
Yeah.
Out front to Buff and to Byfuglien there, and Byfuglien gets the puck. He loses Sheehan, loses him in front. Riley Sheehan, I thought he actually played a nice game, but Byfuglien uses his size there and kind of just tips that puck into the top corner.
Yeah.
Kind of a simple goal. Like, the Jets haven't been scoring on these crazy 3-on-2s or 2-on-1s or breakaways, but they've been scoring on goals like that, and it certainly helps if you don't have a ton of top-end skill to be able to put in simple goals, and that's been a trend lately, and I think a good trend for the Jets.
Yeah, everything within a couple feet of the goal, and that's exactly what this was. Kane, you know, in tight, nice pass in tight to Buff, and Buff just flips it up and over Mrazek's glove and into the top corner, and it's 1-0 Jets. 7 minutes later, a little 7:17 later to be precise, Adam Lowry gets his second of the year. Second as an NHLer, of course. Assist to Mark Scheifele and Michael Frolik. It's a nice play by Frolik here to sort of ward off the defender and find Scheifele with the pass.
And really what the play starts is warding off a defender on his own blue line.
That's right. The turnover starts up.
You take care of your own zone, and he gets Cromwell, strong player, off the puck. The puck shoots up. They get in a 2-on-2 Scheifele. Busts his butt, joins it, makes it a 3-on-2. And then Frolik goes to the net. Frolik's on the right side. Scheifele takes a shot, and Lowry's in front of the net. Eriksson loses Lowry. Lowry uses his size. And there you go. It's 2-0. But that's a play, again, Frolik does. He gets an assist here, but he does a little thing. So he really creates a play from a good defensive play on a very good, I don't know, the wing's best defenseman in Nicholas Cronwell. And then you go up the ice, and Scheifele does a good thing, joins the rush on the 3-on-2. And Lowry makes a simple play. But again, young players don't always make the simple play. That's what's impressive.
Well, he uses his size. What does he have? His best attribute right now in the NHL is his size, and he uses
it.
He's smart. Yeah. I mean, good hockey sense there, of course. But he goes hard to the net, and he's rewarded with the rebound off of the initial shot.
Yep.
So, unfortunately for the Jets, the 2-goal lead did not last long. It lasted only 30 seconds, in fact. Thomas Tatar gets his 7th of the year. It's just an absolutely brutal turnover by Toby Enstrom. He's gonna see that one in his nightmares for the next couple nights.
Yeah, he kind of passed, and nobody was really close there. I mean, you're looking at Tatar's turnovers. Wheeler, I guess, is to the right a little bit, and he's got an option to the left, but it's so far between both of his options.
Yeah.
Thomas Tatar comes in, steps into it, left-handed guy off his off wing, picks top corner on Pavlik. I mean, he had time, too, because it's such a terrible turnover. So that's one of those you obviously want to have back. Enstrom's been very good this year,
yeah. But
that was one of the worst turnovers we've seen all season.
Yeah, it really was. The Red Wings are able to tie it up 2 minutes and 50 seconds later. Yep. It comes on the power play at the 12:52 mark of the second period. Johan Franzen gets his sixth of the year, assist to Thomas Yurko and Danny DeKeyser. Mark Stewart's the defender here, and he catches an edge.
Hey, you know, right before we talk about that, Drew, that's kind of a bad luck play, and he's not a great skater, and he's pressured because, and I'm going to talk about that right now, because the Detroit Red Wings make very nice passes in the neutral zone. They pass, get a guy with speed. And Franzen is not a great skater, but that play gets him the puck. DeKeyser to Yurko to Franzen gets him the puck with speed. Mm-hmm. When he comes in with speed, what does Stewart do? Stewart knows Franzen is big. Franzen is coming in on his off wing, and he's got to protect the middle because Franzen can shoot it. But he's got to protect wide when he usually doesn't against Franzen because he gets him with speed through the neutral zone.
Right.
On the passing play, Stewart then blows an edge because he's trying to compensate for all those things. Now, usually he wouldn't blow an edge, and Franzen probably wouldn't go by it. But the circumstances were such that it was a possibility, and that caused the mistake. Franzen then does go by him, and Truba's left to kind of decide, I have to protect the side of the net. There's really no, you know, what's he going to do there? You could say he could have jumped in front of Franzen a little earlier, but that would be nitpicking. Franzen comes in, makes a beautiful play on Pavlik, and it's 2-0.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like you said, getting a guy with speed in stride, something we've seen the Jets try and do with Blake Wheeler coming down the left the left wing. Haven't seen it as much lately.
Well, that's because teams are sniffing it out.
Right, I mean, teams know
it's telegraphed now. It happens all the time, and very rarely now do you see it. Why? Because they read the scouting report. But what the Wings do is they do it as a team-wide thing. Mm-hmm. And the Wheeler thing is usually pass early in the zone, streak down the wing, cut in. Wings are going pass to the next guy. They don't care who it goes to.
Right.
That's coaching. That's skill level, though. Like, I mean, the things I noticed most about the Wings today were coaching. Babcock was a better coach. I think overall, he's just a better coach, and that's nothing. That's not disparaging Paul Maurice as much as
praising
Mike Babcock. Yeah. But it's a skill level today. The Red Wings were making plays.
And
lots of teams in this league don't make plays. They make plays.
And this is a Red Wings team that did end up playing tonight without Pavel Datsyuk. So you can see the amount of talent that
they... And Brendan Smith. Stephen Weiss, you know, obviously hasn't been anything really since they got him. But you're right. I mean, Pavel Datsyuk's a top, 20 player in the league. So.
Yeah. So it makes a world of difference. Mm-hmm. Jets were able to retake the lead. They made it 3-2 at the 16:12 mark of the second period. It's Matthew Perreault gets his second in as many games. Jacob Trouba gets the assist on this one. You know, Perreault just sort of walks out from behind the net and beats Peter Mrazek to the far side.
Yeah, Mrazek didn't look great tonight. Pavlik didn't look good either. Mrazek didn't look good tonight. And look shaky, kind of. You know, I mean, again, you're talking about third string goalie here.
First start, first action in the NHL this season.
But what I like here is Perreault's, you know, the pucks are going in for him. He was playing well before. Pucks are going in for him now. Cromwell doesn't get in the lane to block that shot. And Cromwell didn't have a great game. He's their best defenseman, but he, you know, gets caught in the play before 3-on-2. Mm-hmm. There, I thought he could have gotten the lane better on the shot, and he didn't. And I thought the shot should have been stopped, but putting the puck on net doesn't hurt.
That's right. 3-2 for the Jets. The Red Wings actually hit both a post and a crossbar while the Jets lead 3-2.
I think one of them was a post crossbar in the same play.
That's right. So the Advocator hit the post, and then Miller took a shot shorthanded that hit both the post and the crossbar and stayed out.
And then Ladd hit a post later, too.
Ladd hit a post later on. So there were a couple of posts here, but those ones by Detroit were big because it was 3-2 at that point in time when they hit those posts. Third period begins. Nothing happens for the first 7 minutes or so. The Red Wings do eventually tie it up. Justin Abdelkader gets his sixth of the year.
He was good
assist
tonight.
Thomas Tatar, who was also very good tonight. And Brandon Lashoff gets the assist, his first of the year. Kane and Buff get caught deep in the Red Wings zone here, and that's sort of where the trouble begins for the Jets.
It does. I mean, the Wings come in kind of a 4-on-3, and I thought the Wings were too fancy.
The 4-on-3.
Yeah, they just made one too many passes, and the puck ended up coming around back to Brandon Lashoff.
Yeah.
And he puts the puck on net, and Abdelkader was kind of was standing in front of him. You watch the replay, he's basically standing on the top.
Brian Lashoff, we're both wrong.
Yeah, Brian, sorry.
Yeah.
Matt Lashoff's his brother, I believe. But you,
who's Brendan Lashoff, then?
Some guy you created.
And Brandon, too.
Yeah, exactly. Brandon. tomato, tomato. But Ablaquer is actually basically standing on the top of the crease, just on the line of where Thomas Holmstrom probably taught him where to stand. And I think he's been around the team lately. Anyhow, Pavlik doesn't have much space, but Bogosian and Enstrom, if they're going to be ahead of the defender and fronting there, which you can talk about fronting or not fronting.
We've spoken about with Charlie Huddy on the show many times
then
before.
You just have to make sure you clear the rebound. And it looked like Ablaquer may have tipped it on the way in, and then I don't know how that puck got in. Pavlik tonight was shaky, I thought, all night. Didn't look confident. Just didn't play well, frankly. But Ablaquer does a nice job going to the net, and Lashoff gets that puck through. So kind of simple play, something the Jets have been doing. And
gold mouth, 3-0. And it's a gold mouth scramble, and Ablaquer makes it 3-0. Exactly.
And Enstrom and Bogosian. Enstrom wasn't great tonight. Bogosian was okay. Jets D wasn't great tonight.
Yeah, you're right. The Jets D was... Paul Maurice will have a lot to show him on video about how he wants them to play. And like you said at the beginning of the podcast, though, you're also playing against a very high... a team with a more talent, just more offensive playmaking ability than the Winnipeg Jets and the Detroit Red Wings.
And more talent, but also different talent.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. You know, the Jets have talent, but they're not going to make tic-tac-toe passing. They just haven't.
That's right.
You know, they do, you know, they use their size and they go in and they'll, you know, you'll see them against St. Louis and it'll be a different
that's
game
right.
against
that's
St.
Exactly
Louis
right,
on Sunday
that's
afternoon.
Exactly right,
Red Wings make it 4-3. They take the lead for the first time all game at the 15-10 mark of the third period. Thomas Tatar gets the goal. It's his 8th of the year. It's his second of the night. He had a 3-point night.
Similar spot to where he actually scored the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ablaquer gets his 8th assist on the year, and Jonathan Erickson gets the assist as well. This is just a beautiful play between Ablaquer and Tatar.
Yeah, it's a beautiful play between Ablaquer and Tatar. If you're
how's Brendan Lashoff doing?
Yeah, exactly. But if you're the Jets here, if you're Buffalo, you're going to get Ablaquer, because if you're not, is Trouba going to get him? And if he's not, you're both getting burnt by him. Mm-hmm. But Buffalo's kind of been very spotty lately. Trouba's been tremendous all season. Jacob Trouba rarely gets beat wide, and Ablaquer blew by him there.
Yeah.
And then what happens is Stewart doesn't expect Trouba to get beat wide, has to go and compensate, come into the middle. At that point, Tatar has freedom to kind of roam into an off-wing spot to shoot. Ablaquer makes a beautiful pass into goal. But that one, out of all the goals for Pavlik tonight, and he was left alone a lot, although I didn't think he looked good anyways, you know, you got to save one or two of those.
That one he had no chance on,
and that one is on Buffon and Trouba. And you know, that's communication too, right? Like, if you have a back checker, you can seal the boards and know the middle is taken away. But if you're both chasing him and he beats you on the boards, then that means you're not communicating, and that means it's not a good play in general. So, again, beautiful skill play by Detroit. That was a mistake, again, by the Jets. A couple of mistakes by the Jets.
And that's how it ended. The Jets had a couple opportunities late in the game with the goalie pulled. Nothing fantastic, but you know, shots on net, goal mouth scrambles, that sort of thing. They weren't able to capitalize, and as a result, they lose tonight to the Detroit Red Wings and fall to 10-8-3 on the season thus far. In terms of time on ice, you look at the Jets players, you look at the defenders. Toby Enstrom, 24:09. Played the most minutes as a defense. In terms of the offense, Evander Kane at 22:34 leads all forwards. Jets next in action Sunday afternoon against the St. Louis Blues here at MTS Center. Of course, we remind you, Saturday, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is on TSN 1290. It starts at 12 noon. Our guests are going to be Aaron Portzline of the Columbus Dispatch, Andy Strickland of Fox Sports Midwest to talk about the Blues, and Saturday Spotlight features a tremendous interview with Yvonne Cornway, a 10-time Stanley Cup winner, Hockey Hall of Fame member. So you can stay tuned to that Saturday on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Of course, we have audio from both the Jets dressing room and the Red Wings dressing room, courtesy of Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg. For producer Michael Remus and analyst Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks very much for listening to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.